Hey, good morning, everyone. How are the early risers doing? You guys that get up early to worship God, you're like the best, man. So glad you're here this weekend. If you happen to be a guest, let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard. I'll be giving the message. You know, it's great to be back at the Glendale campus. Last weekend, if you were here, I wasn't here because I was at the Peoria campus. And some of you don't know, we actually have another campus that is out in Northwest Peoria. It's on 98th Avenue, Deer Valley Road, right around 98th Avenue, but it's on Deer Valley Road, and we meet at Sunset Heights High School every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So if you know people who live out in Northwest Peoria area, they don't want to travel all the way into the Glendale campus, but they're looking for a church or they're unchurched, man, you need to tell them. We have a great alternative for you right out in your neck of the woods, 98th Avenue in Deer Valley. It was really fun being there last weekend. Hey, where we're going to go in the scriptures this morning is in Matthew 17. So if you have a Bible, you have an app, open it up to Matthew 17. We're going to look at verse 4 in just a moment. We've been talking about the subject of prayer for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to continue that this weekend and next weekend. And, you know, as a pastor, I get asked a lot about prayer, different questions. And one of the questions that people ask me about prayer is, well, Brian, for your own personal prayer life, what's sort of the one thing that kind of demotivates you to pray? And that's an easy answer for me. It's two words: unanswered prayer. Unanswered prayer is the thing that demotivates me to pray. And I'm sure that's probably the same for most of you. You know, for example, somebody would love to be married, and so they're praying and praying and praying to meet the right person, and it just hasn't happened yet. Or somebody wrestles with depression, and they ask God and ask God and ask God to take it away, but it's still there. Or somebody gets seriously wronged at work, and so they're praying and asking God for justice to prevail, but justice doesn't prevail. You know, we've all been there. We've all had deep prayers that have gone unanswered. And deep prayers that go unanswered don't just cripple our prayer life. They can actually cripple our entire faith. And so this weekend, we're going to talk about the ache and sometimes the agony of unanswered prayer. So why do our prayers sometimes go unanswered? Well, one reason is because sometimes our prayer request is off. And in those times, God may be saying no. Now, the Bible actually has a lot to say about this. The Bible's not naive about prayer. The Bible's full of all kinds of stories who ask God for certain things, and it doesn't happen. You know, for example, one day, Peter, James, and John, they were up with Jesus on a high mountain. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that Jesus is transfigured before him. He becomes radiantly bright. And not only that, but all of a sudden Elijah and Moses, they show up and they start walking around with Jesus. Well, look what it says. I had to turn to Matthew 17, verse 4. Peter blurted out, "Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want," this is his request, "if you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." As if all three of those guys, Moses and Elijah and Jesus, are all on the same par, right? But see, Peter is so frightened that he doesn't know what to say. So what does Peter do? He just blurts something out. So here's an idea, Peter. When you don't know what to say, try not saying anything at all. You know, that thought had never occurred to Peter his entire life. Not one time his entire life. You know, Peter could have just said to Jesus, "I don't know what to say," or he could have just remained quiet or whatever. But instead, he makes this request of Jesus, and it's a bad idea. So what does Jesus say? Jesus says no. He says, "No, we have more work to do." That's the wrong request. Another time, James and John, they decide that they want to upgrade their heavenly seating assignments. And so they ask their mom to go and talk to Jesus about this. Look at it says in Matthew 20. What is your request? Jesus asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left. What does Jesus say? He says, no. He says, hey guys, the kingdom of God does not work by getting your mom to come and ask to have your heavenly seating assignments upgraded. No, so the answer is no to that. Your mom can't do self-promotion for you. So again, the prayer request was off. And so Jesus says no. Another time, these same two guys, James and John, they go to Samaria. And they go into this Samaritan village. And the Bible says that this Samaritan village does not welcome them. Now that should be no surprise because the Samaritans and the Israelites in the first century, they had all kinds of hostility against one another. But because these Samaritans don't welcome James and John, these guys go to Jesus. And this is what happens in Luke 9. When James and John saw this, because they weren't welcomed, they said to Jesus, hey, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? Jesus says, you know, I appreciate the offer, but no. No, we're not going to do that. And all through the Bible, this is what you see. People asking God for things. The request is off. And so God says no. In fact, on four separate occasions, four different people, Moses, Jeremiah, Elijah, and Jonah, they all get super discouraged. And so they come to God and they ask God to take their life. In each one of those occasions, God says no. I mean, don't you think when the dark mood passed on each one of those guys, they were really glad that God said no. I mean, thank God that God sometimes says no to us. You ever been to a high school reunion? You know, oftentimes that's where we see people back in high school that we thought were so great, and now oftentimes we're like, oh God, thank you that you did not answer my prayer about this person. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say to them, you are somebody's unanswered prayer, and they're really happy about that. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to do that. But something about God you need to know is this, that God always reserves the right to say no. And otherwise, it would be a disaster. I mean, just think about it for a moment. Every kind of power that human beings have access to, we find a way to use it with great destructiveness. That's true of financial power, that's true of verbal power, political power, nuclear power. Well, just imagine if we had access to supernatural power through prayer that would always make everything that we ask God to do happen the way we ask for it to happen. It would be a disaster. I mean, anybody who thinks the existence of unanswered prayer disproves prayer has not thought about prayer very deeply at all. You know, that's why it's always wrong to look for some kind of magic formula when it comes to prayer. And yet so many people try to do that. So many churches actually teach that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes people think if they can just say a magical phrase, then God will do what I'm asking him to do. If I just pray in Jesus' name and say it really loud, then God will do what I'm asking him to do. Or if I just pray with enough boldness or enough confidence, or if I just say, I claim this, then God will do what I'm asking him to do. No, prayer is not a magic formula. And this is also true. Prayer is not an incantation. You know, it's not just trying to say the right words. Again, that's what a lot of people think. If I just say the right words, then God will do what I'm asking him to do. No, that's not what prayer is. You know, when you strip it all down, sort of the basic essentials of what prayer is prayer is just talking with a very, very wise person. In fact, the wisest. And so sometimes our prayer request will be wrong, and God will say no. And thank God that he does. You know what the single most common wrong prayer request is? It's this: Lord, change him. Lord, change her. You know, we laugh at that, but the truth is, some of you have been praying that kind of thing for a long time. Make him do what I want him to do. Make her be the person I want her to be. That's a wrong prayer. Now, obviously, it's good to ask God to work in the hearts of the people in our lives, the ones that we love. But a lot of times, if we're really honest, what we're actually praying is something like, God, I don't want to face my own immaturity. And so, God, would you reshape this other person into someone who will accommodate my dysfunction and feed my ego? You know, if I pray something like that, there's a really good chance that God's going to say, that's a wrong request. And he's going to say no. As a matter of fact, relational brokenness is one of the primary blockers to prayer. Relational brokenness, when we have some sort of relational break with someone. You know, when Jesus was teaching about prayer in what we now call the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13, Our Father who art in heaven, you guys, most of you all know that by heart. Well, at the end of that, he adds on a little addendum, a little caveat, and he says in verse 14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. In other words, if I'm clinging on to all kinds of unforgiveness towards somebody, it's going to lead me into all kinds of wrong prayers. You know, just think about when you have a relational break with someone, and maybe someone has stabbed you in the back, really done you wrong. And then you start to pray about that, and oftentimes that'll lead to a prayer like, God, would you just kill them? And then all of a sudden you realize that you're a Christian. I shouldn't pray that. God, I'm sorry, would you just maim them, you know? Just a little, just like cut off a limb, something like that. Not kill them all the way. You know, obviously that's in jest, but the truth is we do pray all kinds of wrong things when we have unforgiveness towards somebody. Do you have unforgiveness towards someone in your life right now? So one reason we may be experiencing a no answer to our prayer is because our prayer request is off. And that's why God is saying no. A second reason prayer goes unanswered is because sometimes the timing of our prayer request is wrong. And then God may be saying to us, not yet. Not yet. Now, this is not the same as a no answer. This is a not yet answer. And again, there's a whole category in the Bible about this. For example, Abraham, you know, he wanted to have a son. God told him he was going to have a son. He prayed for a son and prayed for a son and prayed for a son. He had to wait years and years and years, decades. Most scholars believe about 25 years till he was 100 years old. Until that prayer was finally answered. Have you ever prayed for something for 25 years? God may be saying, not yet. It's the right request, but the timing is off. You know, the Israelites, they had to wait for 40 years wandering around in the desert before God would allow them to go into the promised land. Not yet. Not yet. Joseph, he had to wait 2 years in prison after he had interpreted the cupbearer's dream correctly in order to be released from prison. And he was in prison because of a trumped up charge. He hadn't even done anything wrong. And yet, he had to wait and wait and wait. He didn't know if he would ever get out. Had to wait 2 years. King David, He had to wait a lifetime for his prayer for the building of the temple to be answered. And even when God answered that prayer, David didn't get to be the one to build it. The nation of Israel, they were wanting the Messiah to come, and they prayed every day, God, bring the Messiah, send the Messiah. They had to wait century after century after century because God kept saying to them, not yet, not yet. Sometimes our prayer requests may be right, but the timing is wrong. And that's why you see a great statement like this from Isaiah in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Yet those who wait for the Lord, if you're taking notes, underline, wait for the Lord. They will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Does anybody here like to wait? You know, they did a study at Stanford University, and the guy who did this study, he found that people are becoming very emotionally upset at how long it takes for their computer to boot up. Very emotionally upset. Anybody ever experienced that? Come on, why is this taking so long? I mean, what does that say about human nature? Just think about it. We have access to more information than anybody in the history of the world. We live in just this unbelievable world. We have all this information at our fingertips. We can communicate with someone anywhere in the world instantly. And yet some of us get irate when it takes 30 seconds for our computer to boot up. We don't like to wait, do we? You know, if you're a parent, one of the best character qualities that you want to pass on to your children is the character quality of patience. Patience. You need to pass on to them the ability to tolerate something called delayed gratification. You need to pass on that to them with grace and with honor. Now, do you build patience into a child by making sure that every whim they have and every desire they have is instantly gratified? No. And you know, that's one of the things God is trying to work inside of all of us, the character quality of patience. He knows all about this. In fact, one time Peter was writing to some followers of Jesus in 2 Peter 3, says, but don't let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day. And then he goes on in verse 9, and he says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. See, the context here is these followers of Jesus were getting all bummed out and saying, well, Jesus said he was going to come back. He still hasn't come. Why hasn't he come? Why is he waiting so long? Peter says, because the Lord is not slow about his promise. The reason he hasn't come back yet is because he's patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Do you realize that every single person that you work with, every single person in your neighborhood, one of the reasons Jesus hasn't come back yet is because he's patient toward them. Because he knows if he comes, many of them would be damned for all eternity. See, this is not a game. We just talked about our Christmas Eve services coming up. You know, there are two times when everybody in your life that doesn't go to church is really open to going to church, Christmas and Easter. Man, you can change somebody's eternity by just stepping out and risking a simple invitation. I hear all the time, people in our church family, I ask them, well, how did you first come to the Vineyard? Well, my coworker invited me, my neighbor invited me, a loved one invited me, a friend, whatever. And I came here, and I experienced Jesus, and I surrendered my life to Jesus, and my life has been completely changed. That's the power of an invitation. Who are you going to invite? Well, I'm afraid. Don't let a little fear keep you from God possibly using your simple invitation to change somebody's eternity? Is it really worth a little fear, a little, well, I'll be embarrassed? Well, what if they say no? So what? So what if they say no? Who are you going to invite? God's not slow about his promise, but he's patient toward us because he doesn't want anybody to perish, but everybody to come to repentance. So sometimes this is a timing deal. And there's this period of time where I'm praying and I'm going to have to wait. And something really important that we all need to understand is that a lot of times, you know, what God is doing inside of us while we're waiting for our prayer to be answered is really the more important thing that God is wanting to do. It's more important than what, you know, we're asking God to do as far as getting our prayer answered. It's what God is doing inside of us. But again, like I said a moment ago, one of the problems we have is we're all in such a hurry. You know, even if it's patience that we're asking God for. You know, we want God to instantly zap us with patience. But the truth is, God uses this waiting period in our life. He uses it. In fact, there's an old saying about God. It goes like this: God is never late, but he's rarely early. That's so true, isn't it? And yet time is so relative for each one of us. We have such different perspectives about time. You know, I heard about this national tennis tournament that was like for super seniors. It was a tennis tournament for people who were 90 years old and older. And in the finals of this tennis tournament, there was a 92-year-old playing against a 94-year-old. Now, get in mind here, they're playing tennis. They're not playing table tennis. They're playing tennis. And at one point in the match, the 92-year-old, the young whippersnapper, he hits a cross-court forehand that the 94-year-old is running after, and he just can't run it down. And when he realizes he can't run it down, the 94-year-old just drops his racket, and he says, "Oh, to be 92 again." You know, time is so relative to each one of us. And we're in such a hurry. And what God wants most in us is not the stuff that can just instantly be zapped in our lives. He's doing stuff as we're waiting on him. In fact, something critical we all need to know about God's will for our lives is this: God's main will for your life is that you become the kind of person he can empower to do whatever he wants you to do. That's God's main will. Now, I know a lot of young people, when they're trying to figure out what God wants them to do with their life or what they want to do with their life, and they're a follower of Jesus, oftentimes they have a hard time figuring out what God's will really is. You know, maybe you're a high school student. You're wondering what God's will is for your life. Maybe you're a college student. You're taking, you know, classes. You have an idea maybe what God wants you to do, but you're not sure. That's really normal. You know what, when I gave my life to Jesus, I had a pretty radical experience with the Lord from going one direction to turning around and going the other direction. Some of you know my testimony, but I was a senior in college at the time, and when I encountered the Lord, I was getting a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics. I was going to Grand Canyon University, go Lopes. I was going to Grand Canyon University, go Lopes, give it up. Hey, that's our hometown team, one of our hometown teams. You know, we got to be rooting for the Lopes. Anyway, I thought I wanted to be an engineer. I was getting this Bachelor of Science in Mathematics, but I'd fallen such in love with Jesus, so in love with Jesus, that all I wanted to do was God's will, whatever that was. But I didn't know what it was. And then I began to understand that God's will for my life is mainly about the kind of person that I become. It's not necessarily about the thing that I do. You young people, you need to realize God's main will for your life is about the kind of person that you become. Not so much about what vocation you're going to have. You know, it's sort of similar with parenting. You know, I'm certainly no expert on being a parent. But when you're a parent and your kids start to get a little older, you know, we have an eighth grader now and a ninth grader, so a freshman in high school and last year of middle school. And, you know, when your kids get a little bit older and even older than my kids, it's a really good idea to make sure that you don't always tell them everything that you want them to do. You know, you don't continue telling your kids their whole life, well, you need to wear these clothes, and you need to go to this school, and you need to take this job, you need to marry this person. No, you don't want to do that as your kids get older, because if you do, they never learn to make decisions on their own. They never learn responsibility. They never get any wisdom. And so sometimes a wise parent will make sure that their kids need to choose, because there's no other way for a person to grow in character than choosing. And oftentimes that means they make the wrong choice. That's okay. And God knows all about this. And so sometimes the timing of our prayer request may be off. And that's why God says no. And yet while we're waiting, He says not yet, but while we're waiting, God is doing something deep in our lives. We need to agree with Him and just allow Him to do it. Oh, let me give you a third reason for unanswered prayer. Sometimes there's something off in me. And God will say, I want you to grow. I'm not going to answer this until you grow. You know, oftentimes there's some kind of blockage in my life that God needs to deal with before He'll answer this prayer request. In fact, Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 59. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, God has turned away and will not listen anymore. Those are sobering words, aren't they? You know, sometimes it works like this. Have you ever been praying about a particular thing that you're really wanting God to do, and yet your mind, while you're praying, while you're doing this, you know, having your prayer time, it just keeps wandering, you know, maybe to a relationship that's really difficult for you? You know, relationships are really important to God. And so oftentimes when we're praying for something completely unrelated, God will bring this, you know, this thought about this relationship in our life that's difficult. Again, similar to what I talked to you about a moment ago, maybe somebody who stabbed you in the back, or maybe somebody that you've sort of wronged, or maybe you're just kind of at odds, maybe with your boss or one of your employees, maybe a friend of yours or whatever. And, you know, when I was a young Christian, right after I became a follower of Jesus, my pastor told me, you know, followers of Jesus, they read the Bible every day. So I didn't know any better, so I've just been doing that ever since then, just reading the Bible every day. And so I would read through the Bible. And when you read through the Bible, you come across a lot of stuff that you don't understand. There's lots of stuff in the Bible I still don't understand. But you come across stuff, and if you read the book of Psalms, you know, there are some, like King David, he prays some prayers in the Psalms that are pretty kind of wild. You know, I remember one that I really liked. King David had a problem with somebody, and so he was asking God to make their loins shake continually. I like that. So does that mean I can pray that, God, for this person I'm at odds with? God, would you just make their loins shake continually? I love the word picture, you know, of that. And by the way, if you're not sure if you should pray that about somebody you're at odds with, the answer is no, you actually should not pray that. But oftentimes we'll have some sort of unforgiveness in our heart towards someone. And when we go to God in prayer about something completely different, until we get that relationship cleaned up, until we grow, God's not going to answer that prayer. See, there's something off in me. And so God says, I want you to grow. You know, here's another area that we may be off in and we may need to grow in Proverbs 11, where the writer says, there's one who scatters, gives away. There's one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there's one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in one. Then he says in verse 25, the generous person, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. You know, it doesn't work very well to come to God with some big prayer request and your hands are clenched. Maybe for you, before God is going to answer that prayer that you're wanting him to answer, maybe God is saying to you, I want you to start being generous. I want you to start giving. I want you to start helping the poor in some way. You know, sometimes people come to God with a big prayer request, you know, wanting God to do something big. God, would you do something about hunger? God, would you do something about sex trafficking? There's so much of that going on. God, would you do something about all these lost people around me? And you know what happens? Oftentimes, God will end up answering that prayer by saying to you, I want you to do something about it. I want you to be the answer to your own prayer. Maybe God is speaking to you that he wants you to be the answer to one of your prayers. You're wanting God to do something, and God says, yeah, I want to too, through you. You know, that's really how this church started. It's kind of a long, involved story, but I became knowledgeable about the Vineyard Movement, and then I began going to Anaheim, California, to where John Wimber, the late leader of the Vineyard Movement, had a church. And there wasn't anything like that here in Phoenix at the time, and I kept praying, God, we need a Vineyard church with those kind of values, you know, with the kingdom theology and the expectation that God's going to show up in our services and the attitude that everybody gets to play, that ministry's not just for, you know, professionals and all the different things that are still part of our church and our movement. I kept praying, God, we need something like that. And God kept saying to me, yeah, we do. And I want you to do it. And I kept saying, no, God, I felt so unqualified. But eventually said yes. And that's why we started this little Bible study in our house. And that's how our church happened. Sometimes God wants us to be the answer to our own prayer. Let me give you a fourth reason for unanswered prayer. Sometimes people ask for really good things with really good hearts, and their prayers don't get answered. And I don't know why. I don't know. You know, every weekend I walk around our church family in the lobby after services and before, and I talk to people in our church that are going through some horrible tragedy in their life. And they tell me that they've been praying about it and praying about it. And they don't know why God hasn't answered their prayer. You know, maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you have a horrible tragedy. Maybe one of your kids has some sort of disease and you're asking God to heal them. Maybe you're married and your spouse has that. Maybe you have a disease. And you're asking God and asking God and asking God. And you still have that disease. You know, maybe you have a huge financial need and you've been asking God to answer that. Maybe you've been trying to have a child. And you've been asking God and asking God. Maybe you've been doing all kinds of infertility stuff and, you know, nothing has happened. And you're like, why hasn't God answered my prayer? Maybe you have chronic depression and you've been asking God to lift it. But it's still there. You know, I think just about everybody in this room has gone through things like that. Unfortunately, some of you are at that place right now. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I cannot pinpoint an explanation that has all the answers of why your prayer hasn't been answered. I can't pinpoint an explanation. All I can do is point you to a person. And I can tell you that at the heart of the gospel is an unanswered prayer. Jesus, kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine. See, this is the most desperate prayer ever prayed from the most discerning person who ever lived, from the purest heart that ever beat, for deliverance from the most unjust suffering ever known. And all it got was silence. Heaven was not moved. The cup was not taken away. The request was denied. But from that unwanted, unmerited suffering came the hope of the world that remade history. Because, see, the ultimate answer to every human anguish, including the anguish of unanswered prayer, the ultimate answer is a sin-stained, blood-soaked cross where God Himself suffered. See, nobody has all the answers about unanswered prayer. I don't know why, you know, some people get a yes and some people get a no. I don't know. I only know that in the cross, God's no to His only Son was turned into God's yes to every human being who ever lived. See, because of Jesus Christ going to the cross, all human beings now have an opportunity to have a relationship with God. And it was only because God said no to His only Son's request. God's no to Jesus became God's yes to us. Aren't you glad? We're going to spend the last few minutes before closing just thanking God for the cross. I've asked the band to come and play the song "At the Cross." Most of you that are part of our church family, you know this well. And if you have an unanswered prayer in your life right now that you'd like God to answer, as we're worshiping, as we're singing, as we're thanking God for the cross, I would just offer up that prayer again. You never know. I don't know why God hasn't answered your particular prayer. Nobody has all those answers. I don't know. But He might today. And maybe there's something God is doing in you. And maybe you need to even say like Jesus, "God, not Your will. I mean, not my will, but I want Your will to be done." Even if Your will is no. Even if it's no. So I want us to worship as a church family, just thanking God. We're going to begin by standing, so if all of you could stand. But I think that there's some of you, you may want to come to the altar, like we sang about earlier. You may want to kneel. You may want to come to the altar and kneel. You may want to sit back down. But let's sing out with full voice and let God know how thankful we are for the cross and for what Jesus did on the cross. So we're going to sing this song, and then I'm going to come back and close the service.
I surrender my life, I'm in awe in of you, where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe to you, I owe to you, Jesus.
Have you surrendered recently, completely to Jesus? If not, you know, do it now. Maybe you've never done that. You know, we would love to talk to you about fully surrendering your life to Jesus. You know, maybe you have a prayer request that you've been praying for a long time. God hasn't answered it for whatever reason. You know, one of the really good things to do is tell somebody else and ask them to pray for you. That's part of what we do at the end of our services. We have a ministry team up here afterwards, and we love to pray for people. And you share with us your prayer request, and we agree with you in prayer. We ask God to break in. And so if you have a prayer request that you'd like us to pray for, please stick around for a few minutes after the service. Come to the altar. We'll have a ministry team here. And then if you're a guest, you know, if you've never gone to a guest welcome out in the lobby, we have the information center. We'd love for you to stop by so we can give you some information. Some of our pastors will be there. Some of our leaders. It'd be great for you to meet them. And then next weekend, we're going to finish up about prayer. So make sure that you're here next weekend. I want to just pray a blessing over us before we go. And if the ministry team would come up while I'm praying, that'd be great. Lord, thank you that you said no to your only son, so that we would have an opportunity to have a relationship with you, God. We're so grateful to you, Father. We're so grateful for you, Jesus. We're so grateful for you, Holy Spirit. God in three persons, we worship you. Thank you, God, that you're working in our lives, even through things like unanswered prayers. Help us to develop the character qualities that you're wanting us to develop in these times of waiting. But Lord, even today, those that are praying big prayers, I pray, God, that as the ministry team members lay hands on them, that you would really empower them and anoint them, and that there would be some breakthroughs in prayer even today. And as my friends here go their separate ways, Lord, I pray that you would really bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, Lord, and give them peace as they go. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, say hi to some people on your way out. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you soon.